Exodus chapter 4. We will read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. We will read all these four verses together. Exodus chapter 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled before it." Fourth verse. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod into his hand." And also, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verses 12 as well as 13. We will read these two verses all together again. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lusts thereof." 13th verse. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Let's close our eyes. Loving Heavenly Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we thank you, O Lord, for the portion that you have given unto us today. Lord, please be with us and guide us and lead us during this time. As the table is set before us, and it is representing the body and the blood of Christ Jesus, we ask you that, O Lord, Heavenly Father, to be reverent unto your word, to be reverent unto your Son's body as well as blood. Lord, as your word says, help us to examine ourselves in the light of the word. Please, Lord, Heavenly Father, as we are going to meditate so many portions, request you, O Lord, Heavenly Father, that you may prepare our hearts to listen your word as well as to partake in the communion worthily. And also remember myself, I am an unworthy servant standing here. But O Lord, please use me mightily as your chosen vessel. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So there was an incident that happened. A boy who was riding a cycle. He was riding very fast, but he was not crossing the street. And he was making circles like this. And then he made so many circles so that he got tired, and he was crying literally, and he was sweating, and he was crying aloud. And there was a cop that he was passing by. Then he stopped by and asked, "Son, what happened? Why are you crying?" Then he said, "I'm trying to run away from my home." And then he said, "What, you are trying to run away from your home? Then why you are, circling here only, and you're not crossing the street?" And he said, "My mom asked me not to cross the street." So, we can see the obedience of a kid. Even though he wanted to go away because of an incident, and he wanted to obey his mother. My dears, obedience is very important in Christian lives. Without obedience, we cannot really please God. Without faith, we cannot really please God. Even though you pray, God is not going to listen to you because you are disobedient. We have read two portions. The second portion is from Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. It says that, "Let not your sin therefore reign your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." 13th verse, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." As Paul mentioned in the book of Romans, there is always a constant fight is happening in ourselves. Fight for good, fight for bad. In this 13th verse, there are two kinds of instruments. So what are those? 13th verse, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness." So that is the first kind of instrument. Instruments of unrighteousness. And second thing, towards last portion, it says instruments of righteousness. What are these members? Simply, members are your parts of the body. Members could be hands, members could be legs, members could be head or the entire body. And he is talking here is that you do not yield your members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness. You saw? The members are same. And he is saying that do not use your instruments to unrighteousness. But instead, he is saying that use your instruments to the righteousness. And he used a word, yield. You should not yield your bodies or your body parts as instruments of unrighteousness. So my dears, if you use your instruments of unrighteousness, the Bible says that it leads to sin. Eventually, it leads to death. But if you use your instruments as righteousness, it leads to God. Eventually, it leads to eternal life. God is saying is that decision is yours. Decision is yours. I'm there to help you. And Satan is there to tempt you. And it is up to you whether you want to yield to Satan or whether you want to yield to God. The decision is up to you. So today, I would like to look into several Old Testament characters as well as some of New Testament characters. And then we'll see how they have yielded their body or their body parts to the righteousness or unrighteousness. Okay? So let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. We will read one verse. That is verse 2. Verse 2. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand?" So if you ask me, I wanted to keep this particular question as today's sermon. Today's title of the sermon is, "What is that in thine hand?" What is that in thine hand? God asked Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" Whenever you read any particular verse in between, you need to try to understand the context. So let's try to understand the context. In this particular context, God was talking to Moses. And in that particular conversation, God asked Moses to go to Pharaoh and asked to do something. So altogether, he gave five excuses to God. So the first excuse he gave from Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. And he said, And Moses said unto God, "Who am I?" Who am I is the first excuse that Moses has given. And he said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? I'm an unworthy servant. I'm an unworthy person. I don't have any skills. I don't have any talents. Why are you asking me? Who am I?" That was the first excuse that Moses has given. The answer to that excuse God has given is that, "Certainly I will be with you. Certainly I will be with you." The second excuse that Moses has given is from Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me unto you,' that they shall say unto me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say unto them?" The second excuse that he has given is that I don't have answers. I don't have answers for the questions they are going to ask me. And they may ask, "What is the God's name? And what shall I say unto them?" And in response to that, God has said, "I am that I am." Wonderful, you know, answer that God has given. And all these answers God is giving and try to encourage Moses. The third excuse that he has given is from fourth chapter of Exodus and verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but. So underline the word but. You know, he's giving like God has been encouraging and still Moses is saying, but God. "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord has not appeared unto thee.'" So he said that people won't believe me. People won't believe me. That's the third excuse that he has given. So if I read this correctly, I think he is saying that, you know, let's read it one more time. "Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken my voice." And I feel this, that I will not believe you. You know, Moses is trying to say that why he is, putting the complaint on other people. Probably he is saying that, "I will not believe you. I will not believe you, first of all." And that is his complaint instead of, throwing at some others. And then he answered and said that, "What is there in that thy hand and a rod?" And then God asked him to cast down on the ground, and he does a miracle. And then fourth excuse that Moses gave was from fourth chapter, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto my servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow of tongue. I can't speak properly." So that was the fourth excuse that he has given. "I'm not eloquent. I'm not, in other words, I'm not a fluent person." And he said, but, and again, underline the word but, "I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And fifth excuse that God has given is from fourth chapter and verse 13. And he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." And he is indirectly saying is that, "Lord, even though you have done so many miracles, even though you said so many things to me or tried to encourage me, I am not qualified. Send someone else." My dears, we also give excuses like Moses. So many excuses like Moses. You know, even though God asks us to do something, so many times we are not obedient unto the Lord. And finally, in the later portion of the chapters, we can see that Moses was obedient and Moses trusted God and Moses followed God until the last day of his life. But for us, for our context, let's turn to chapter 4 of Exodus and verse 2. And God asked Moses, what is that in thine hand? What is that in thine hand? And Moses responds to that statement, a rod or a staff. A staff is an ordinary thing. It's not like a big weapon, or it's not like a miraculous thing. It's kind of a stick. You know, stick to support Moses, or stick to put all the sheep under control. That's it. It's a very ordinary thing. But here, God said, and third verse, cast it on the ground, and he immediately cast it on the ground, and it came, or it became a serpent, and Moses fled before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod or staff in his hand. Wow, wonderful miracle that God has done. What was the instrument that God has used? A staff. An ordinary thing God has used, and God has performed a miracle. God can use an ordinary thing and make or extract extraordinary results from that. Do you agree with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I too believe and I too agree that Lord can perform miraculous things, you know, with the small things. With the small things, God can do big things. And God is telling Moses that, Moses, start where you are, and Moses, use what you have, and Moses, do what you can. That's it. Three simple things probably he's telling. You know, don't worry about your abilities, your talent. And if you are obedient, and if you start doing what I say, that is what I needed. I don't need your abilities or your talents. That is what God is telling here. With a simple rod, you want to see how many miraculous things that God has done with a simple staff? At least I have 10 things that God has done, or God has used the staff in the hand of Moses and performed wonderful miracles. So, first miracle we have seen here already, that the staff has changed to a serpent. And then serpent become the staff again. The second miracle that it has done from 7th chapter, or otherwise, let's read 17, as I need to, you know, refer a couple of other verses. 17th verse, thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are thou in the river, they shall be turned to blood. The first miracle that he has done is that, you know, the waters of Egypt or waters of Nile River turn to blood. The second thing that he has done from 8th chapter, verse 5, I'm not reading this, but to bring the plagues and the frogs. And then next thing is that, you know, he has done is from the 8th chapter, 16th verse, it was used to bring forth the plague of lice. And 9th chapter, verse 23, there was another thing that he has used his staff to bring forth the plague of a thunder and hail. And at 10th chapter, verse 13th, we can see that there was another thing that happened because of this staff, that he called east wind to blow in the plagues of locusts. And then all these different plagues are different things that came to or came upon Egypt is because of a simple staff. is the greatness belongs to the staff or the Moses or the God? The simple answer is God. God has used the staff and Moses to do extraordinary things. But what God needed from Moses? Obedience. Obedience was needed from Moses. Not only these particular plagues that he brought, against Egypt, but a wonderful and miraculous, unimaginable thing happened in the, we can see that from 14th chapter and 16th verse. 14th chapter, 16th verse. Please read it. Exodus 14 and 16. And God has used Moses' rod or a staff to part the Red Sea. Can you imagine that would happen? Any time in your life? No, we cannot really imagine. But God did it. God did it with a simple instrument that was Moses' staff. Not only that, my dears, in order to bring the Red Sea together, again he has used his staff. And again, 17th chapter, verse 5, in order to bring the water out of the rock, again he has used a staff. And not only that, 17th chapter, verse 9, in order to bring a victory against Amalekites, God has used his staff. See how many things that God has, are brought victory because of the simple instrument. That instrument was in Moses' hand. So many things. So I can list down at least 10 things that God has performed miracles with a simple instrument. Okay, now let's take another character. Now onwards, I will tell those instruments. Probably you can tell me the person name. So, a scarlet string. Rahab. God has used Rahab also. Let's turn our Bibles to Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verses 1 and 1, 2, 3, 4, I will read it. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out your country." And third verse, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they become to search out all of our country." And fourth verse, and the woman took the two men and hid them and said, "Thus there came men unto me, but I wish not whence they were." My dears, in these four verses, most of us know the story, how Rahab saved two spies. So in the fourth verse, it is clear that she hid the two men. And later on, we can see, I will jump forward, and 12th verse and 13th verse. "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that yea, will also shew kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that yea, will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from the dead." And then while they were leaving, and Rahab clearly told them that, "As I have helped you, and please save me and my father and my mother and my sisters and my brothers. And then later on in the 18th verse, we can see, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down. So this was the story at the high level. Okay, so three portions that we have read. So three lessons that we can learn from these three portions. The first lesson was a courageous faith. The reason why I have used faith, because in the 11th verse, we can see that Rahab believed in God. We can see 11th verse towards the end, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and heaven above and in earth beneath. So she believed in, and she was having a faith in the Lord. And the first portion we can learn is that she has a courageous faith. Even though the soldiers were searching in Rahab's home, what did she do? She hid the two men. So she needed a courage. You know, so many times, even though we have faith, so many times we fear because of the incidents or because of the people or because of the situations. But we can learn from the life of Rahab that she has a courageous faith. The same way, we also need to have a courageous faith. And then second portion we have read, and we can understand that is a concerning faith. And what she was telling is that, save me, and not only me, and save my father's home, save my mother's, as well as save my sisters and save my brothers. And wonderful thing that he was telling that, to take care of my family also. It's a concerning faith that she has. And even we have been meditating in the book of Romans in the Bible study. In the Paul, in the 10th chapter, as well as in the 9th chapter, and he always say that, I pray for you, my kinsmen, and my brethren, O Israelites, so that God may save you. The same kind of faith, concerning faith that we also need to have, my dears. We need to have a same kind of faith or concern about our near family members. In our family, maybe our brother is not saved, or a sister is not saved, or a mother is not saved, or a father is not saved, or our colleagues or relatives are not saved. It is our responsibility to have a concerning faith upon them as well. And then third thing that we can learn from 18th verse is that covenant faith. Covenant faith. And she said that, make an agreement before you leave. I will not let you leave until that. And then they said that, I'm going to give you a scarlet thread and then tie it out to your door so that, when Israelites come and attack your country, and then they will not attack you. So what a wonderful, covenant faith that she has. So I want to pause here and ponder upon the life of, Rahab. Rahab, who was she? She was a harlot or a prostitute. And she was not at all a good person in the society. Right? But, my dears, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we can see heroes of faith. In that heroes of faith, only two women by name it is mentioned. One of the name is Sarah, and another name is Rahab. Sarah, now she is a wonderful woman. She gave a birth to, a wonderful person. Through him, the entire Israel came. But consider Rahab. She is not at all a worthy person. Her body is not at all a worthy. But, my dears, even though she is not at all worthy, and she is outcasted from the society, God has used her mightily. Not only that, my dears, if you look into James chapter 2, between verses 21 and 26, there are two names that the Holy Spirit God, had led James to write it down. One person name is Abraham. Another person name is Rahab. And Rahab, and not only she showed faith, and by works also, she has proven her faith. So that's the reason in the book of James chapter 2, between 21 and 26, it's written about Rahab. Not only this, it hasn't stopped. A wonderful, privileged thing that happened. Her name is written in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. From Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Please read it. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Wow, what a wonderful thing. Rahab's name is found in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. What did she do? Is she a great person? Is she a talented person? Was she a holy person? No, not at all. Irrespective of all these things, because of the reason that Rahab was obedient to the Lord, or Rahab has shown faith towards the Lord, God has used mightily in his kingdom. Wow. In three various different portions, the name of Rahab was given. Or as an example of Rahab was given in all those three portions. What a wonderful thing. My dears, only because of a scarlet string, God has used mightily. Wonderful thing. Only that is needed is, again, obedience. And now, I'm going to look another person, an ox goat. Who was that person? An ox goat. That person name is Shamgar. And let's turn our Bibles to Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Please read it. Okay, here we see that there was a person named called Shamgar, the son of Anath, and which slew of Philippians 600 men with an ordinary instrument. So that is called ox goad. Do you know what ox goad is? Telugulo mullu karra ani cheppantaru, mullu karra. So just to treat ox properly, it's like a sharp thing that comes out at the end of the stick, and then ila guchuta untaru anamata sariga nadapothe. So it just punishes the ox if that is not doing well. And the ox goad has another thing, that curvy thing, next to that small, this kind of a spade. So it was used to clean the dirt of the plow. So, but God has used an ordinary instrument to do an extraordinary work. What was that extraordinary work? We can see that Shamgar slew or killed 600 Philistines. And next thing is, I know that you are going to give me the answer. A sling. David. It's a simple thing, right? Again, it's a simple instrument. It's not like a great instrument that God has used. And, David killed Goliath. Again, I'm not going to details of that. But I wanted to say that God has used a very small instrument, a sling, to kill a giant Goliath. Right? And then two mites or two coins. Who is that person? In the New Testament? During the time of Jesus? The poor woman. And Jesus was observing that, how people are bringing their offerings to the God. And rich men, rich people were bringing offerings to the Lord. And the poor woman, she gave whatever she has. That was the same wording that it refers. She gave whatever she has, the 2 coins. But my dears, with 2 coins, I mean now, after 2,000 years, we are taking an example of that. How we should give generously. Okay? And God has used ordinary 2 coins. Ordinary 2 coins to teach us about the generosity. And now, not only that, you know, so far we have seen people and what is there in their hands. Right? And now, another instrument God has used. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And we can see here a first miracle of Jesus Christ that he has performed in Cana. And sixth verse, can you please read it? John chapter 2, verse 6. John. Seventh verse also. So wonderful, my dear. Sixth and seventh verses. So Jesus Christ has used what? What God has used? A 6 water pots of stone. It's again, you know, it's used to store the water, to clean the food. Whoever comes inside a home, it's a very ordinary thing. But my dears, one of our dear church member who visited Israel, and he mentioned that, brother, I have seen these water pots of stone. Wow, what a wonderful thing that Jesus Christ has used around 2,000 years before, and now it's still preserved. And you can learn lessons from that particular, you know, water pots of stone. Wonderful thing, my dears. With all these things, what can we conclude? What can we conclude? We can easily conclude that with these small things, God can perform big things. With an ordinary things, God can perform extraordinary things. My dears, it's not about our talent. It's not about our things that we have. But God is asking, what is that in thine hand? So God wants to start with that. God wants to start with that. The same question that God has asked Moses. What is that in thine hand? So God is asking the same question you also, my dears. That what is that in your hand? God wants to start as who we are. We don't need to be a proficient in the word of God. Or proficient spiritually. Or grown spiritually. Or, you know, getting a wisdom or something like that. No, God is not looking all those things. As you are, you come and obey God so that God can use you and perform miracles. And now, I want to show quickly on some other persons. God has used or God gave something to their hands and how they destroyed it. We can see those things also. Okay, Garden of Eden. Who are they? Adam and Eve. What God has given to them? God has given a garden. Wonderful garden. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. Please read Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 and 16 as well. Okay, wonderful. So here we can see that God put Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden. So please read a 22nd chapter 3 verse 22. Please read 23 also, brother. Okay, what happened here? God gave Garden of Eden and asked Adam and Eve to obey him. But, you know, God gave some commandments and he said that you need to obey me. You need to obey me and don't eat that tree fruit. That's it. Simple commandment that God has given. So they did not obey it. What God has done? He himself, in the 23rd verse of chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. God only put him in and God only sent him out because of disobedience. Disobedience. The next thing, a strange fire. Who are those two people? A strange fire. No, Nahab and Abihu, strange fire. They wanted to serve the Lord, but God's instructions were very clear to obey his instructions. So instead of bringing an ordinary fire, they wanted to bring a strange fire so that probably they were thinking that people would appreciate them. So let's turn our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2.
Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, and laid incense on it, and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord.
Again, what happened? So Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either them his censer. Censer is where they put the fire. They took this censer, then put fire therein, put incense therein, and offer a strange fire. So brother, read from a different a translation that is very good. Unauthorized fire, it says. Unauthorized fire. So God has not authorized it. So he put a strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. God has commanded not to put such kind of fires. Then what happened in the second verse? And there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them. The fire that came from the heaven killed them because of disobedience. Solomon, what happened to Solomon? So he built a wonderful kingdom. So God has given wonderful wisdom when he was a child. But unfortunately, he misused it. So in the 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 8 to 12, so if you take a look into it, I will read 9th verse. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which he had appeared unto him twice. And 10th verse, and he commanded him concerning this thing that he shouldn't not go after other gods, but he kept not what the Lord has commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my command and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, which give it to thy servant. So God has given a wonderful wisdom. And because of that, Solomon has expanded his kingdom vastly. His popularity, reaches to so many other countries. But Solomon left the core thing. The core thing is, he went away from the Lord. He started worshiping other idols. You know the reason why he turned away? The reason is that he got married to several hundreds of wives from other religions, from other, others who are not belongs to the Jew. Wow. Because of that, when Solomon became old, their wives turned Solomon's mind. Solomon, only because of God's wisdom, only because of God's blessings, and he was able to build a great kingdom. But he went away from the Lord, and what happened? He lost his kingdom. So many times, my dears, we take God's commandments for granted. And we always think that, what is there? Let's do a small sin. Oh, what is there? No, God is not here in front of our eyes. And who is going to watch me? You know, if any brother or sister is watching me, then, okay, let me do good things. But after leaving the church, let me do, you know, who I am kind of things from my old nature. My dears, all these examples are talking that if we are disobedient unto the Lord, Lord will cast us away from his presence, and Lord will take away his blessings, whatever he has given. And even Ananias and Sapphira, we know from Acts chapter 5 verse 1 to 11 what happened. You know the story? That they lied about the land and the money, and then immediately they both died. Today probably we are not dying as you know, quickly as they it used to be, because we are in the grace period, and God has been giving a second chances to all of us. Not only second chances, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, like that. God is so patient, and he is dealing towards us or with us. But my dears, let us learn what we have learned from the Old Testament characters as well as New Testament characters. If you consider Moses, and God has used the staff of Moses, and God has used a small cushion that, Moses, what is that in thine hand? And Moses said, I have a staff. Let me start with the staff, and let me use the staff and do miracles. And then Rahab, in the life of Rahab also, with a small scarlet string, God has saved her and her family, and God has used her mightily, you know, as her chosen vessel. And we have seen how God blessed Rahab and be a blessing to so many of the people. Not only that, Shamgar, and with an ox goad, with a small instrument, he killed 600 people. And poor widow with two coins, she taught us how we should be generous, and how we should give our offerings to God. And not only that, you know, this is one side of it. The other side of it is Adam in the Garden of Eden, what he has done, how he has thrown God outside of Garden of Eden. And then Nahab and Abihu, how they brought a strange fire to all the people. And then God killed them, and Solomon. And God said that, I'm taking away your kingdom from you because of your disobedience, because you moved away from me. And then Ananias and Sapphira, we know the story. How they were killed, how they were dead. You know, all these things, you know, with respect to all these things, turn again with me to Romans chapter 6. And again, let us read those two verses, Romans chapter 6, 12 and 13. My dears, you know, carefully we're going to read now, 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your bodies as the instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So there are two kinds of instruments. Instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, and the other kind of instrument is instruments of righteousness unto God. God said that, I am giving to your decision. Sometimes when God asked us, what is there in your hand? And we can say something. But if we are disobedient to to God's calling, if we are disobedient to God's uses or use, then my dears, what is going to happen? You know, God will use someone else. Someone else. God can use anyone. If God uses a particular person, doesn't mean that that particular person is great. And even if we are here on the other side and we are teaching, doesn't mean that we are great. We all are same, my dears. We all need to give an account to God. And we have a table and a communion in front of us. And we need to examine ourselves in the light of the word before partaking in the communion. How are we using our instruments of our body? Are we using are these instruments for the unrighteousness, unto sin, and unto death eventually? Or the other side, the instruments of righteousness unto God and to eternal life? It is up to us how we have to take a decision. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It is very clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Please read it. It is very clear. Everybody, that we need to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I last Wednesday I have used one incident, and one godly person was distributing tracts, and then he gave a tract to a woman, and she said that, don't you know who I am? Because that lady, that woman was a celebrity. Then he said that, I don't know, but one thing is sure, that everybody has to stand in front of God for the judgment. Whether you are a celebrity in this world, or whether you are a, you know, godly servant or a great man in this world, but everybody has to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Again, it talks about instruments. With your instruments of your body, what are you doing? With your mind, with your hands, with your legs, with your eyes, with your ears, and with your whole body, what are you doing? It's a question that we need to ponder upon. Ponder upon what has happened yesterday, last week, last month, last year, or the entire life, my dears. Let us ponder upon that we are not confessing on anything that we have done with your body. If you have done badly with your body, that means that we are using instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. If you are using it for good, praise the Lord, that we are using our instruments as in righteousness unto God. We need to examine ourselves, my dears. Not only that, I want to give the final thought. God has given this soul. God has given this life. This life is like a vapor. That is what it mentioned. You know, in some of the portions, I think in James, book of James, it is mentioned. And about soul also, that Matthew chapter 15, verse 26. We don't know how many days or years we are going to live on this earth. How are we using our soul? How are we using our life? Our life is like a vapor. Once it is gone, it will not be back again. Not only that, the talent that God has used, that God has given to us, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, there are three servants were there. To one servant, God has given five talents. To another servant, God has given two talents. To the third one, God has given one talent. So to the five, the servant doubled it and then gave to his master 10 talents, and to the two and four, but the one talent that God, that his master has given, he kept it. He was hidden, or he hid that. And then when he came back and he said that, you know, I got scared of you. I don't know. I fear that I will lose this particular talent that you have given to me, that's why I kept it. You know, I was hiding in all these days. And then the master used very strong words, go away from my presence. And master has casted out from his presence. God gave talents to all of us mighty ears. Talent might be a kind of musicians or preaching or teaching or taking care of a Sunday school or taking care of the church premises, everything, so many things God has given talents or spiritual gifts to us. And if we think that, I don't have any spiritual gift. I'm not eligible to do that. You know, ask God, and God is going to ask you a question. My dear brother or sister, what is that in your hand? God wants to start with that. You want to start today? If you haven't started serving the Lord? My dears, God is telling now. God is telling now. If you are not, utilizing this opportunity, and your opportunity is gone. Not only that, God has given body. And with your body, we already read that what are the things that we are doing. And most importantly, God has given children's also. To the parents I'm talking, my dears, God has given children's to you. And when God has given children's to us, we need to teach them their ways. When we teach the ways that they need, that they brought up, they will not depart from it when they become old. So this is from Proverbs that it says. It is our responsibility, whatever God has given to us, and we need to take care of those things.